Welcome to On the Ground IPSY. It is a Wednesday morning on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. And I've got a smile on my face. Oh, by the way, good morning. I'm Patrick Campion. And you can hear me smiling because my pal Brianna's in here. And I didn't write your name down today.
Nice.
But I'm still remembering it and how to say it and everything. It's a spectacular morning here on WEMU. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are here because of our relationship with you as a media sponsor for the project that you're working on with Concentrate Media. Tell us about On the Ground IPSY.
So On the Ground IPSY is an embedded reporting project. So I'm living and working in IPSY, trying to connect with as many residents as possible and learn about the great things that people are doing in this community.
And you've got an excellent photographer whose work that I see on those stories every once in a while. And we'll bring Doug in a minute. But hold on a second, Doug. Let's talk about where can we find you, ConcentrateMedia.com.
Yes.
And Concentrate A2 on Facebook.
Yes.
Concentrate Media on Instagram and Twitter.
And just Instagram. On Twitter, it's also Concentrate A2.
Okay.
We can get that. It last time.
All right. Well, you know, forward momentum, forward progress, little steps. You can find it all, of course, at WEMU.org as well, where we will link over to the story that these two worked on this week, which involved a local event, a big event.
Oh, yes.
A very high altitude event.
Yes.
A lot of upward neck craning going on. So welcome, Doug. What were you guys up to last weekend?
We were covering Thunder Over Michigan, the annual air show at Willow Run, and we were not only covering just the planes and the air show and people at Willow Run, too, but we were also covering spectators outside, because if you live in the area, it's just inevitable. A plane's just going to zip over your head, and you're like, hey, what is that? So even if for some reason you managed to miss news that this was happening, when the Thunderbirds go blaring over your backyard, you're like, oh, the air show's happening.
It is interesting listening to locals talk about it, because there's like three attitudes of that ambivalent, you know, it's just happening, it's part of this. There's the very excited people, then there's the people that are, why are we subjected to this noise and nonsense? So
get off my sky.
Yes. You went out and talked to those. Did you catch people from any of those particular groups, or most of the people you talked to were happy to see the planes flying over?
I think we just exclusively saw people who were happy to see the airplanes.
Okay, so. All right.
People who kind of, they see this as an annual tradition for them. So whether they're actually paying to get into the event or they're just watching from their yards or another spot with a good viewing area, it's something that they look forward to every year.
So where were the hot viewing areas if you weren't paying? Where were people hanging out?
I feel like they shut down a lot of the viewing areas. I could be wrong on this, but I think people used to watch on Ecorse Road, and I noticed a lot of areas were closed. The hot area is the US 12 split out towards Canton, Denton Road, and
Michigan
US 12. And it's interesting, too, how so many people drive past there going 50 miles an hour and ignore it. But that would actually be a really good spot for a park. There's a really nice, large grassy knoll there, and there were hundreds of people out there just watching the planes fly over.
Well, now that the strip club's closed down, it might be a little more attractive to have kids there, too. You know? But, you know, maybe future development. You could buy the property, make it into a community resource like a nice park. There are excellent ideas coming out of On the Ground IPSY.
Yes.
All right, so
Doug is a self-described airplane nerd, so that's how we decided to go to Thunder Over Michigan this year. But last year we did a photo essay at Summerfest, Park Ridge Summer Festival, and Joe Doolin Community Day, and at Heritage Fest. So this was, you know, the new incarnation of the photo essay for this year.
Okay, so airplane nerd, what were you geeking out about?
I was geeking out. It's a bunch of things. And I was going to say, you know, having covered Summerfest and Heritage Fest, I think what's interesting is I think people fall into two categories. I mean, one, you just a straight up love of airplanes. And I mean, for that, you know, seeing the Thunderbirds who performed this year, these just high performance jets doing crazy things is part of it. But a lot of it's not only plane nerds, but it's history nerds, too. So people who love not only the history of airplanes, but the history of Willow Run itself and just how Willow Run was cranking out a B-24 every 55 minutes. So it's interesting. There's a lot of history nerds. And I think one of the more charming ways the history nerd side has manifested itself was there were a number of original Rosie the Riveters present who we talked to. But there are also, I'm not even sure the proper term for this, but like Rosie the Riveter reenactors.
Yeah, the contemporary Rosies. That's what you're calling them.
And they were fantastic to talk to, too, because, you know, I was asking them. And
Rosie cosplayers. There we go.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll use a contemporary term.
Doug had an excellent question for them. I'm sure that's what you're about to get to.
Yeah, well, you know, I was asking him kind of what drew them into it, because, I mean, on one hand, Rosie is like a proto-feminist icon. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I was asking some of them, you know, was it a love of airplanes? Is it a love of history? Did you have a relative, you know, who was a Rosie. And, you know, the woman we were interviewing answered yes to all that. But I think the most beautiful thing she said that was fantastic about being a Rosie reenactor, if you will, is getting to meet the original Rosies and how inspiring it is. And the Rosie, the original Rosie we met was 95.
Yeah.
I want to be like that when I'm 95.
She's lived in Ipsy almost since, you know, the early 40s. She left to go to Washington, D.C. and to New York when she joined the U.S. Coast Guard. So she was one of the first group of women to be in the service and wear uniform and everything. So she joked about how I guess I'm kind of a pioneer woman, she said, and it was really cute.
Well, and we just got certified again locally, the record for most Rosies in one place at the gathering they have. I know that just got certified. So there is a lot of pride in our history, especially, you know, there's a lot of strong women in this community.
We,
in this county on a whole, because of education and medicine and research and pioneering tech innovations. I mean, you probably saw the post the other day, people were talking about, Linda French was talking about all the great women business owners, female entrepreneurs, the people that support this community. The list is long and wide. And you know, maybe some part of it had to do with why the Rosie the Riveter came from this area, was because we have a grand tradition of really holding up strong, independent women that aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and do the work that needs to be done and lead the way. You know, don't leave it up to the men. Somebody's got to put these things together. We're going to do it. And that was a great attitude. So I'm glad you got to experience that. We're very proud of that heritage in our community, certainly. And the B-24s, I mean, you can't really appreciate the magnitude of how fast they were making them until you see it in person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to say that and like, oh, you know, an average airplane. But when you're standing next to this massive thing, you're like, how in the heck were they pushing these things out faster than most cars were being pushed out of auto assembly plants at that point? So cool stuff. What was the major highlights for, you know, what really attracted people? What was getting the oohs and ahs? I mean, what were you really seeing people react heavily to?
Well, everyone said that they were there for the Thunderbirds.
Okay.
Really. So I think that was kind of the main attraction for sure, especially the people who are watching outside of Willow Run.
Yeah, the Thunderbirds, it's hard not to ooh and ah. I mean, those planes are just so powerful. They'll do slow flybys just like with their nose pointed up, and it's just amazing they don't stall. I think also the Oracle stunt team is also another kind of insane, death-defying, acrobatic team. It, just these small biplanes that just do, I think due to their lightweight, can do crazy maneuverability. But I think that's the fun of the air show, too. I mean, there's obviously the Thunderbird demonstration team, but I think like the Oracle stunt team is a throwback to the old early air shows in the young days of aviation, where you would just fly into town and be like, check out what these amazing things, this new
technology. Well, yeah, you think about the old black and white movies of the guy standing on the wings of the biplane, you know, playing tennis with each other while the thing's flying through the air, the grand tradition there. Doug, from your perspective as a photographer, you know, would you rather take pictures of things flying over, or would you rather take pictures of the people enjoying it?
Well, to be honest, the airplanes, but the people enjoying it is really fun too. Obviously, my wife has grown to love airplanes, because when an airplane flies by, I apparently look like a 5-year-old boy. And actually, I think Brianna can attest to when we were working on the story, she would be talking to me and an airplane would fly by and she would just lose me for 30 seconds.
I'd repeat myself, Brianna, a lot on Sunday, but it's
You didn't have to hear all about it, and, you know, where it was from and who flew it and who designed it and why what makes it unique and its place in the lexicon of airplane-age stuff.
Yeah, we had fun. We had fun, though.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I heard that Eastern had their aviation program out, too. Yeah. That was cool. I know Chuck Kettles was out. Our own homegrown hero here who started the aviation program at Eastern was out repping Eastern yesterday, or over the weekend as well. So all good stuff. What was the big takeaway? I mean, was it a success? Are people enjoying this?
Great to see the Eastern Aviation School out there. I had done a photo shoot a week before at Henry Ford with Delta. Was there for National Aviation Day. One of their pilots had gone to the Eastern Aviation School, and I had no idea, but basically Eastern Aviation has its biggest class right now. Mm-hmm. They actually have to turn some people down. There's so many pilots retiring right now that a lot of airlines are having a hard time recruiting and keeping their numbers up. So, I mean, one, I was actually embarrassed to being an airplane lover that there was not an aviation school at Eastern, but also it's just such a fantastic, great school. So it was great to see them out there, too.
Well, and it's a program that doesn't get a lot of attention, and it deserves a lot lot. I mean, it's got a strong heritage. It's not unique, but it's definitely unusual in the world of higher education, especially in our region. It's one of the few, and it has that reputation of pumping out great pilots. So
yeah, I think the class last year was 45, and I think you said this year it's 58 people. So
yeah,
it's their biggest class ever.
Yeah, it's grown at least by 10 students.
Well, good for them.
I think. Yeah. So we're gonna have to probably do a story on that sometime this fall.
All right, and that was my next question for you, Miss Brianna. Is I know next week you guys are off, but what you got coming for us the week after Labor Day?
The week after Labor Day, I think it's September 12th, I have a story publishing on Mentor to Youth, which is a really great local nonprofit that helps with tutoring and mentoring students. And not only just that, they help with college and career preparedness too.
Well, those are all things we need in our community. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you and with them about the work they're doing. And we look forward to going to concentratemedia.com to see the great pictures, Doug, that you took of the air show this weekend. Do you have a little Brianna flavor in there? Is there a little?
Oh, yeah. So each person who we interviewed has kind of a little anecdote and pulled quotes.
Okay.
So.
Awesome. Sounds like a great read. We'll get it up for you at facebook.com, our WEMU page. Or of course, you can see it at WEMU.org. Happy to be part of On the Ground IPSY, which you can find at WEMU.org and hear every Wednesday morning here at 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.